This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum, the Scandinavian Tobacco Group, Lane Limited, and thecountrysquireonline.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
Good evening.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing well. I took the day off.
Yeah, you did. Again.
It was nice. Yeah, again. Timothy was gracious enough to take today at the shop because I have to work next Saturday. And old tobacconist here has to just get a mental break,
man.
You know, and take some time off. So I try to give my day, I try to give myself 2 days off a week, and so just kind of worked out that way. But yeah, it was good to sit at home and smoke my pipe and organize some things and watch way too much Criminal Minds.
Oh, dude,
and it was great.
Well, good. You got the old binge watching thing down.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Netflix is our friend. So,
look,
what you been up to, man?
I've been getting ready for a big trip I've got actually coming up tomorrow. Something that I want to share out on the show. Hey, if we've got any listeners in the Pittsburgh area, I will actually be in Pittsburgh this entire week. I think I have like maybe Wednesday night or Thursday night free.
Okay.
A little bit anyway. And so if anybody is in that area, if you know of a good pipe shop in that area, I might just kind of pop in anyway and just set up a pipe shop or a shop talk or something of that nature.
That'd be great.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. Pittsburgh, beautiful city. I'm really looking forward to being there. I've gone a few times before.
Yeah, so you've been before?
Yeah, absolutely. I used to have some family that lived there. And of course, The Dark Knight Rises was filmed there as well, famously.
Okay.
And so anyway, I'm looking forward to it, man. Should be a lot of fun. Anytime I can get out on the road, I enjoy doing it.
Yeah. It's good to get out. We've got a lot of folks that across the country that are always good to connect with, too.
Absolutely. Speaking across the country, man, we've actually got some things going on. If you happen to be in the Grand Rapids area coming up on January 25th, they have got an awesome, awesome event going on. It is the Furniture City Pipe Society, formerly the Gentlemen of the Briar. They are doing a Coffee Masters coffee and pipe tobacco pairing.
Dude, that's nice.
Yeah, so they got actually Coffee Master Jeff Woodson, who's going to be there.
Great.
It's going to be really, really awesome. This is going down. The Standard Tobacco Company of Pennsylvania has actually donated some re-released John Cotton tobaccos as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Those are kind of going around right now because they're being introduced into the American market. Super tobaccos, really good.
Yeah, so it should be a lot of great stuff going on. That's actually going on at Indian River Tobacco Traders in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, if you recall, we've actually done a shop talk with them from a while back, I guess last time I was in town. Again, January 25th, that's going on from 7 to 11. Check out their Facebook page and website for more information on that. But that I thought that was appropriate, you know, given, of course, tonight's subject in a little while here, we'll be doing a Squire Select and doing another kind of pipe tobacco pairing. And so, man, I think there is something in the community, man. People like pairing up their pipe tobacco with something special.
Well, pairings are an easy target, though, right? So, like, we, you know, hey, Bo, it's Monday night. What's our excuse to drink whiskey tonight? On air, while we're working, while we're hanging out. I think it's time for a pairing, don't you think?
Yeah, well, you know, in all fairness, you've been naysaying my idea of doing a pairing with pipe tobacco and films.
That's true. You're
what if it was pipe tobacco, films, and whiskey?
It depends on how large the bottle is.
It's the trifecta right there. We need to make it happen. I think that'd be great. No, man. Look.
Sounds like a lot of fun, though.
Great things going on, of course, in the local area. You know, you were not here in the shop today, given that you had the day off, but you will be in this coming up weekend, which should be a lot of fun. The Magnolia Pipe Club's great pipe club to be associated with. Some interesting things. I was actually talking to a buddy of mine. Who's considering doing some woodworking classes and such.
Is that right?
And I kind of put an idea of his ear. I was like, you know, if you wanted to do like a pipe carving lesson or something like
I
know a group of folks who might be kind of interested in that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Absolutely.
Really, really cool stuff. But you know what? I think we should go ahead and dive into our topic, honestly, because this whiskey is staring me in the face. Of course, this is a Squire Select episode where we take pipe tobacco and pair it with some unique things. We've done tea. We've done beer. But more often than not, we do like to pair things, pipe tobacco with whiskey. And we got some great whiskeys tonight.
Yeah. I'm excited about this. And it's cold here in Mississippi on this evening. And so, it's always good to have a little warm whiskey for your belly. Tonight got a couple of good pairings, I think. Always good to have some bourbons in the house. I want to start with our friends at Four Roses. And actually, you know, their single barrel and their small batch stuff get a lot of love, and we love that stuff. But tonight we wanted to actually check out their regular bourbon, just Four Roses bourbon. You don't hear a lot about this as much as you do the small batch stuff. The small batch stuff is so good, and it's relatively inexpensive, so a lot of people, you know, if they're looking at the Four Roses on the counter, will pull for that. But, you know, if you're looking for something really inexpensive, Bo, but, like, just a fantastic kind of house whiskey, man, this is so good.
Good quality,
like,
for
the
money.
Absolutely. I love this stuff. It's really tasty. It's got, you know, when you drink it, open the bottle, that first nose that hits you is decidedly sweet, and it's kind of crisp, but then it mellows out as you drink it, and you're definitely left with the sweet and kind of savory finish. So let's try it, and then I got a pairing for it.
I've
been instructed to go easy on the pours tonight.
Yeah, and I'm cutting mine with a little bit of ice. I normally do the straight whiskey, but you know, tonight trying to take a little bit easier. Cheers.
Put the cap on. What'd you get?
Water. Stupid ice.
Are you even trying? No, I like this Four Roses because it's not an overpowering whiskey. This is an 80 proof whiskey, and so you know, you're not talking about something that's just so overwhelming, even not just with the alcohol content, but also the flavor in your face. It's just really mellow. It's got a sweetness when you smell it in the glass, and then you know, as you drink it, you know, just a sweet smoothness, and it's just very sippable. You know, I think that term is kind of I don't know, overplayed sometimes, like, or maybe confused with other things, but to me, sippable means, like, you know, I can kind of sip on this all night long, and each sip is not a chore. You
no.
know, I when I take a sip of this, you know, of this whiskey, I'm not going for it. It's not something that's just going to kick my tail with each time, although at the end I'm glad I did it. This is something that you're going to want to constantly keep going back to. And if you're a whiskey drinker, I think you probably know what I mean. There's kind of that some of those whiskeys that have just a real crisp bite to them.
I mean, they kind of punch you in the face.
Yeah, and sometimes you want that,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what you're going for. But the regular Four Roses, I think, is definitely not that.
No.
So what I've got tonight for us is a this is kind of interesting. I paired it with Dunhill Standard Mixture Mellow. Now, this is a tobacco that's a lot of fun. And the reason I like this tobacco is that it's got a lot going on, but it's, again, really mellow and really smooth, which I think pairs nicely with the Four Roses. So I'm going to read on the PipeReviews.com. It's just, it says, traditional English Latakia Orientals, East Carolina, lightly toasted. And so you've got a tobacco here that, you know, frankly, when I smell this tobacco, I don't smell much Latakia at all. You know, and honestly, even on the tin says a mellow blend of Virginia and Turkish tobaccos, soft, delicate flavor. So I don't honestly pick up, like, any notes of Latakia at all. But I'm going to give that a smell, Bo. It's really nice.
Oh, man.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just got a really mellow tin note to it. And I've actually been smoking it here tonight in my Missouri Meerschaum Cobbett pipe, and you know, it's just a very smooth mixture. The Orientals definitely stand out, so there is that, you know, sense of something that has a little bite to it, but it's very mellow compared to other blends, I think, like this.
Is that, you know, I guess it is the Oriental tobaccos that really just always have, or seem to always have, just such a great room note, like,
yeah,
tin note, rather.
Yeah. The tin note, I think, is particularly
good.
The room note, you know, when you burn this stuff, it's not going to, you know, your significant other may flee the room, but depending on who he or she is, but yeah, this is it's super tasty and just really mellow and I think very sippable. So I thought that was a good pairing.
But, absolutely,
Dunhill Standard Mellow Mixture, Standard Mixture Mellow, and Dunhill, of course, we love their tobaccos and have carried them forever. They're just such a consistent company. I hear they make pretty decent pipes too.
Yeah.
All right. So next,
and for those playing at home, I've now dumped my ice because I was so disappointed when I had a swig of it. It was all like melted ice that had just been standing there.
I may be the one driving you home tonight.
No. Still go easy on the pour.
This has been a house favorite here for a while.
Yeah.
So if you've been to the Squire before, you'll know that we are right next door to a liquor store, or as the Southern gentry will tell you, the package stower. Because right, we don't want to say liquor. That's too low class. It's the
spirits, right?
It's the package store.
What happened to spirits? I feel like spirits.
It's wine and spirits, right. Yeah. Absolutely. But we've got a lot of folks that will go, you know, on a Friday afternoon or something. They'll tip over next door to our friends at Wine and Spirits, and they'll grab a nice bottle of something, and then they'll bring it back and enjoy it with their pipe that mm-hmm. afternoon. And a regular match for that is this Maker's 46. This is good stuff. And this is coming from someone that does not drink Maker's Mark. I don't drink Maker's Mark. It's too sweet. It leaves me with a funny aftertaste. I'm just not a fan. And then
you're more of an Old Charters kind of guy.
Wild Turkey's my jam.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
But generally, Maker's Mark is too sweet for me. And then I tried this. And then I tried this whiskey here.
Okay.
Yeah, really interesting. So I want to give us a little splash of this.
You know, I almost every single time that we've done a Squire Select, I mentioned that, you know, I'm a fan of bourbon cocktails. I'm a fan of just bourbon in general, but
yeah.
I am a fan of bourbon cocktails. And Maker's is actually, if I know I'm going to be making some cocktails, I typically go to it because of the sweeterness.
Is that
of
kind
it.
Of your go-to? On, it, yeah.
It's well, not if you're making a mixed like drink. Straight, but
yeah.
exactly.
If you're making
a mixed
drink,
it's
yeah.
perfect.
I tend to mix or drink bourbon by itself, although I have been enjoying a bourbon and Coke more recently.
Is that right?
Which has been nice. So, and you know, and really, if you're doing that, any cheap bourbon will work.
Yeah, if you're gonna ruin bourbon by putting a soft drink. When I say a cocktail, I mean more of like a classic cocktail. Not
right.
A,
no, not a know. Right. All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
And that's smooth.
Oh man. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm gonna tell you a little bit about Maker's 46. They were intent on doing a small batch whiskey or just something different, you know, and if you read on Maker's website, they've kind of got this, you know, verbiage about the, you know, the blender of the stuff. He, you know, was skeptical of kind of coming out with some new line just for the heck of it to increase sales and all this stuff. But finally, some folks kind of pushed him in that direction.
Huh, yeah.
And they were like, okay, we're going to make something, you know, special, something kind of smaller batch and more unique. And so they went through 45 iterations of a new blend. They started with the original Maker's.
Right,
so they
right.
were intent on using that as a base. And you can definitely, when you try Maker's 46, you can tell.
You can taste the evolution.
This is a base of Maker's Mark. But then what they've done is gone further. And so 46th barrel, that iteration was the ticket. And it says that 10 seared French oak staves were inserted into the barrel to lend natural flavors of caramel, vanilla, and spice. Finished Maker's Mark was then added to the modified barrel and returned to the coolest part of the warehouse. About 10 weeks later, voila. So,
whoa.
Yeah. And it says it's bigger and bolder, but that, you know, the smoother smoothness and drinkability that Maker's always has. And I think I identify with that. There's something about this whiskey. I keep wanting to say tobacco because I love both of these things.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
But
appropriate.
There's something about this whiskey that does have the drinkability, again, of the Four Roses that we discussed before. But it doesn't have the sweetness that I tend to appreciate the bolder flavor.
It's like an entry-level quality bourbon. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of great...
I could see that.
Yeah, there's a great approachability to Maker's Mark in general.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also, you know, and as you mentioned, there is still some sweetness that's attached to this. But, I mean, this is definitely something
that
you're
going to
want.
It's a lot more muted, though, yeah.
You can drink it straight.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would call something that costs $45 an entry level, but I think
entry level for quality.
Yeah, for someone that wants to, try something good and, you know, hasn't been down that road before, maybe would be averse to the bite of a cheaper whiskey.
Right.
I think this would be good.
Absolutely.
So fair comparison there.
Also, you can't talk about Maker's Mark without talking a little bit about the branding and just kind of the presentation. Of course, if the image isn't coming to your mind, of course, Maker's has the wax, the red wax.
Who doesn't have that immediate, you know, image of the wax seal that, you know, is poured over the top of the bottle?
Absolutely.
With each one. Yeah.
And every single one for that reason is different, which is just a wonderful a brilliant marketing decision on their part. The great thing about 46 is that you actually have kind of the wax stamp that's on the front of the actual bottle itself.
Maybe the Squire should start doing
that. Dude, I was actually about to say, you know, you think about
like a wax seal on our tobaccos or something? Or maybe certain blends get that honor? I don't know.
Times, how they used to do that. Golly. And just, like, put it right there.
You know, when the Pope or the King died, the legend, it might still be this way with the Pope, but they actually take his ring and destroy it, or I think in some cases even throw it into the river or the ocean. Because the ring doubled as the seal.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, that would make
some
sense.
For the monarch. Yeah, I thought that was always interesting. We digress. We've got a tobacco to go with this. And, of course, as is tradition, it's one of our Country Squire house blends here. I'm taking kind of a gamble on this one, but I thought this would be a lot of fun. This is Parsons Blend. Now, we have talked about Parsons Blend on this show very, very much. But this is an aromatic tobacco. It's a burley base, and it's got, some fruit in it. You're going to pick up a little cherry. But Parsons Blend is something that is sweet, but not terribly sweet. It's not terribly sweet. So you're going to get those notes of fruit. Occasionally you'll even get random stuff like citrus and banana. It's kind of different. But you're going to have the cherry. But it's burley based, and so there's that bold thickness to it that just kind of makes it smooth and very sippable.
You've done it again, man.
Oh, I'm so
proud
of you.
No, look, here's the deal. As soon as I looked and saw what you were talking about,
you were skeptical.
I was extremely skeptical. And it has been a long time since I've smoked Parsons.
Yeah.
It has been a long time. Lately, I've been going to kind of some more heavy Englishes and
non-aromatics.
Yeah, and it's interesting, actually. If you're not smoking aromatics, you don't even have kind of a mindset of what even like the aromatic experience is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I had the Sleepy Hollow recently when I was up in Vegas, but beyond that, I've just been in a very, non-aromatic mode.
Yeah.
And so, Parsons, it was hard for me to even regurgitate what the experience is. Then popping open the jar, giving a whiff of it, and like, oh my gosh, this is a brilliant pairing.
What's interesting about this blend is that, whatever sweetness you took away from the makers by making the 46-year-old, you get to kind of almost counteract that with the Parsons blend, but it's still not overly sweet. And it's just got a nice drinkability, sippability to it. It's an aromatic that with each puff, you don't feel like you're drinking a Slurpee.
it'd be great if you, I don't know what the laws say here in Mississippi, but if you could serve beverages along with pipe tobacco, you could call this combination the Drunken Parson.
Oh, you really could. You really could. Or Preacher's Secret, maybe.
Right? I like it. Oh, my gosh.
It is funny. As if you're a longtime listener of the show, you'll know Parsons Blend was actually developed for my priest, actually, at our Anglican church that I go to, and he wanted something that his wife would not find offensive as far as the room note goes, and so we developed Parsons Blend, and since then, like, all these pastors have gotten word about this doggone blend. So just the other day, as a matter of fact, I always laugh with people and tell them, like, I have sent Parsons Blend to actual churches on behalf care of the pastor. And I actually did that again just the other day. My favorite is when I get to send them to Baptist churches. That makes me very happy.
It may be Anglican in origin, but it's definitely worth reaching across the aisle to my Presbyterian brothers.
That's exactly right.
We need to check this out.
Yeah, and actually we've got good friends that recently took it to the...
It's way better than Presbyterian. I'll say that right here and now.
That Presbyterian mixture? Right, yeah. This is predestined over that, I promise. It's funny. We actually had a large crew of... the Presbyterian pastors that on their way to their General Assembly for their convention, one of the pastors got together. They pulled about six guys. They ordered 2 pounds of Parsons Blend, and they called me and they said, "Look, we just ordered this on the internet, divvied up into six bags, because once we get to the General Assembly, we're all going to be splitting up in our bags and smoking along." So anyway, I just thought that was great. But you'd like to go into this thinking that, maybe some of those pastors, some of those clergy members, some of those priests, in their back study, maybe when none of the congregation are looking at them too much, maybe they'll enjoy a little makers with their parson.
There you go. That's awesome. Oh man, what a great pairing. Yeah. Such a wonderful job, man.
Thank you very much.
Not every single time. Like most of the time,
I've had some misses. I mean, I don't know what they are, but certainly they've been misses.
There was one, I can only think of one time, and I don't even remember what it was, but we did actually have a listener write down challenging, saying, like, I love
that
you guys.
That was a terrible idea.
John David, he's inspired when he talks about tobacco, but he was way wrong on this one.
Yeah, he got it wrong.
He was passionate about it, but he was the only one. So, I mean, statistically speaking, I would say you're doing pretty well. And occasionally you just, especially recently, you pull out something that I just do not see working out. And of course, it's an amazing pairing.
All right, I'm blushing. Yeah, this was a lot of fun though. I'm glad we got to look at this. It's always fun to find new pairings.
If I could tangent us back on a tangent real quick,
are we gonna rabbit hole
the wax seal thing?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Wasn't there like a movie or something where like the seal was like a skull, like a red skull?
A red skull?
Hold on, what? The studio audience knows the answer to this question.
Oh, did you say
Phantom of the Opera?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Exactly what
it
was.
Sir, was it a red skull or
a
rose?
It was a red skull. And I remember, if you're talking about the movie, the most recent version of the movie,
yeah.
I remember it very specifically because he pours the wax on the note,
okay.
And then he uses, and it's a massive skull image.
Okay.
I even remember thinking like, how did he get that much wax,
right?
Like out of it, and I don't know. I'm not a physicist here, but I just didn't seem like
you're rusty on your fluid dynamics,
right? But it did seem almost a little bit of a stretch on how it worked. But
that's great.
Thank you so much to our live studio audience. It's really nice actually having a live studio audience to be able to correct
like
this.
Kind of like that, on the old show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And I can call that an old show now, but you kind of have that lifeline where you get to ask the audience.
In some
cases, like, you know, call it, phone a friend or whatever.
Well, and we've got
we have Twitter now,
which is great, but it's always a little bit delayed.
And not only is it delayed, it's sometimes, you know, kind of critical. Like with Pappy Joe saying, don't you need to at least pour enough? Let's see. No, he says, don't you need to pour at least enough to taste?
I would remind Pappy Joe that he said on Twitter earlier this week that he was not going to, his goal for 2016 is to make fun of me.
Yeah. No.
That's what he said.
And he made it like 9 days.
Well, that's off to him, man. And I know exactly the right way to celebrate 9 days sober.
Absolutely. Yeah, you do.
Or how to celebrate anything, honestly. And that's with an excellent quality pipe from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's exactly right.
Now, these last couple of episodes, we've been telling you a little bit about their Cobbett series of pipes. We actually want to talk to you a little bit today about one of their classic styles, the Country Gentleman.
Man, it's been around forever, and it's a house favorite here at the Squire.
And not only that, but if you think back, I could be wrong on this, but I don't think that I am. I mean, back when I got that custom fishing pipe, which I lovingly named the Salmon Slayer.
Modified Country Gentleman.
Oh, it's a beautiful modified Country Gentleman, it's a gorgeous pipe. Of course, the Country Gentleman, one of the most popular designs in Missouri Meerschaum series, with a larger filtered pipe. It's actually got the large bowl shape with kind of a dark skin, and actually it does have the hardwood insert at the bottom. And one of the great things, man, is we've been talking about these wonderful pipes from Missouri Meerschaum. If you haven't checked out their website, you absolutely should. But the great thing is every single episode, as we're talking about these pipes, we want to encourage you to actually take a picture of yourself with that pipe and tweet it into us so that we can retweet it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're looking for more details about the actual pipes from Missouri Meerschaum that we discuss on this episode, in the show notes for this episode, you can see it. So, you know, just head on over to Country Squire Radio and select that episode, or in most podcast players that know what they're doing, such as the Satchel Podcast Player.
That's right.
You can actually see the image of the pipe that we're discussing. So, really great stuff. Missouri Meerschaum, a fantastic company with fantastic products. We've said it before, but if you don't have a Missouri Meerschaum, you absolutely should. And whatever your Missouri Meerschaum pipe is, tweet it into us. We'd love to see it. But this week, we're specifically looking for those of you sporting the Country Gentleman.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week brought to us by Orlick Golden Slice.
Ow!
All right, man.
Talk about a house favorite at the Squire.
Dude, here's something you may not know. And actually, I know it's something that you do know now because I mentioned it to you before the show, but you did not know this before the show. I'm talking, of course, about the fact that the Orlick Company factory is actually currently the factory that is the Scandinavian Tobacco's Group Assens factory today.
Okay, so the Scandinavian Tobacco Group factory was, I mean, that's the original Orlick factory.
Yeah, man, over 200 years old, really, really awesome. Orlick is a company, they make great quality tobaccos today through the Scandinavian Tobacco Group. Orlick, we've mentioned, of course, last episode, fantastic smoke, has a little bit of a citrusy crisp to it.
Absolutely.
Which is really awesome. So check it out if you have not already. All right, this comes in to us. This question comes in to us by Russell Ramirez. Russell, really great guy, actually from the Austin Pipe Club, if not mistaken.
A lot of good friends down there.
He says, it doesn't matter how long I've smoked, how long I focus on taking things slow, I always seem to have about a third of the bowl that will not burn.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes distasteful, And I still get the nice gray ash on top, but it seems like people like to brag about how smoking their bottle all the way to the bottom is this really great thing. Is there a way to improve his technique, or is this just something that happens? And again, this is coming to us from Russell out in Austin.
It's a great question. And, you know, as a tobacconist, I get this a lot. People, very experienced smokers, come in the shop, and they don't... you know, they're not able to keep their pipe lit through that bottom quarter, bottom third of the bowl. And you see it every time. And sometimes this happens to me as well, depending on the tobacco, particularly with anything that's got kind of a funky cut, or if it's more of a moist tobacco. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you'll get a really fine white ash on the top and get, you know, 2/3 of the way maybe through the bowl. And then you might even take the time while you're smoking to scrape the ash kind of off the top and dump it, just so you know you're getting good airflow, not trying to suffocate your cinders there that are still burning. But then your pipe will go out, and you'll kind of have this sludgy part at the bottom. And as you remove that top layer of ash that is fine white powder and dump it, you'll notice one little vein of white ash that's going right through the middle, and the rest is not touched at all.
Almost like a funnel.
Happens all the time. Yeah, it's like a little funnel. You nailed it. So, you know, is there a way to overcome that? Practice. The thing is, a lot of folks do that. A lot of folks do that, and there's a bunch of folks that, you know, have just kind of resigned themselves to, you know, not smoking that bottom third of the bowl.
Right.
Some people, you know, as well, consider that bottom quarter, bottom third of the bowl, even to act as kind of a filter. And so, you know, the idea is you smoke your pipe until it doesn't taste good, and then you dump it. Now, you know, for me, the not tasting good, for some reason, often correlates with a relight.
Really?
And so whenever I relight my pipe, I want to be sure to scrape as much of that
ash.
That ash and just any charred tobacco off first before I relight my pipe. And if you do that, then I think you'll have some success smoking it to the bottom. But, you know, if your pipe goes out around that, like, you know, 1/4 left to 1/3 left, like, don't get discouraged. Scrape as much of that, you know, off the top as you can. If it still tastes good to you, relight it and keep going. Happens all the time, and I think a lot of it does depend on the moisture content of your tobacco, even the shape of your pipe. You know, I have that happen a lot more on bent pipes than I do straight pipes. Of course, my personal problem is that the moisture for me collects a lot more on a bent pipe than it does a straight pipe. So you might try different shapes, different tobacco cuts. If it's more of a chunky cube cut or a flake that you have to rub out really fine, it might be harder to keep lit through the whole bowl. Something that's real dry, like for instance this Dunhill Standard mixture that I was smoking tonight out of my Missouri Meerschaum pipe. You know, this is a tobacco that, you know, it's just going to smoke to the bottom in a fine white powder almost every time. You know, and so there's just, you know, you've got to find the right match. But don't get discouraged. You're not alone. If you can't solve it, worst case scenario, kind of, you know, treat that bottom third or bottom quarter almost like a filter, just to, you know, to get down to that part that doesn't taste good anymore, and then dump it and start again.
And I, you know, you mentioned it, and I think, you know, one thing to take away is just the fact that there are so many different variables that go into it. I mean, you know, I for me, there's a lot of tobaccos that I have up in the cellar that are just going to be at this point drier than other tobaccos, and are going to be a different smoke, all things considered.
Yeah.
And so if some of it burns too fast and does that little funnel all the way to the base, you know, it's just part of the way that I treated the tobacco beforehand. I would also suggest, don't let smoking to the bottom of the bowl be the goal. Let enjoying your smoke be the goal.
Yes, absolutely.
And so if at the end of the smoke, because this is something, and I say this as somebody who, this really bothered me early on as a pipe smoker, is I would be in that exact same situation where the last bit, I would never smoke it all the way through. For me, at the beginning, it was more like half the bowl, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, that's right.
And so I always felt so bad about that. And so it killed my enjoyment because I was focused so heavily on being able
on
to...
finishing the bowl.
Exactly.
Right.
And so once that aha moment clicked of like, oh, it's not about trying to get to the bottom of the bowl, it's about enjoying the experience, then it's a completely different... it's a weird thing, but... that pressure made me get to the point where I was able to smoke to the bottom of the bowl.
Yeah.
Because that was no longer the goal. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely it does.
So, you know, kinda crazy.
You got to think, like, we sometimes complain about prices of pipe tobacco, okay? But, you know, a 2-ounce bag of pipe tobacco at the Squire is going to cost you, you know, somewhere around $10. a tin of tobacco that you order on the internet or buy at your local tobacconist, you know, it costs anywhere from, you know, $8 to, you know, $20, whatever. Each one of these, you know, components that you've got is going to have multiple smokes in it, right? That you might go out to a bar and spend, you know, $15 on one gin and tonic. Or, you know, if you smoked a cigar, you know, it'd be, you know, one good cigar, it might cost you $8 or something. And that's one smoke, you know, as opposed to the several that you're going to get out of a 2-ounce bag of pipe tobacco. So in reality, you know, all that to say, tobacco's cheap. So once you get to the point in your bowl of just not enjoying it as much anymore, man, just quit smoking. That's great. Like, it's okay. Like, it is A-okay. Another thing, too, don't feel obligated to fill your pipe up to the very top of the bowl.
Yes, preach.
Yes, yes. You can always, you know, I'm so consistent about on my really big, bold pipes, just filling it halfway. And you'll be surprised at how often you will get to the bottom of the bowl if you don't fill it to the top.
What your it's mama like told cheating, you about, but, you don't know. Bite off what you can't chew.
Don't pinch off what you can't smoke.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
There's a bumper sticker right there.
Hofner the Love Doctor is kind enough to say he thought all pipe smokers put their dottle in a Persian slipper to enjoy later. If it's good enough for Sherlock Holmes, it's good enough for me.
Well, there you go.
He might be onto something there.
Hey,
I'll have to go purchase some Persian slippers first.
Great question, Russell. We really appreciate that one. If you got a pipe question for us, send it in csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
You ready, man?
Man, quick fire with the squire. Yeah, bring it.
Morton Sendevi, of course, we've been working through his list. Man, we're getting kind of close to the end here.
Okay.
After, I mean, in 2 months.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
it's a big list.
These have been great, though. I've really enjoyed them.
Man,
I hope it's inspiring other folks, too, to drop some in, because we always have a lot of fun. You get to know more about us, too.
Stalin or Lenin?
What a choice. Like, I don't want to pick.
All right, I'm going to pick, and I'll tell you why I'm picking, which will make things a little bit easier. So if you think about, what was that Family Guy episode where they had, like, the communist, it was like a communist sitcom, and it's like, quit Stalin.
Oh,
like, it was
wow.
Like, because of that lame pun, I'm choosing Charles Stalin.
Okay. I mean, I'm assuming, I mean, Joseph Stalin was a pipe smoker, obviously. We don't know. I think he smoked, you know, some of his subjects' tears in his pipe. I think
was his. They can't all be winners.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm a pass. Stalin had a better mustache.
You didn't say that was an option.
Stalin had a better mustache. I'll go with him. How about that?
I'm just going for the lame joke. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Yeah, coffee almost every single time. Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
All right, I don't want y'all to judge me.
We're amongst friends.
Okay, well, and I'm hoping that there is going to be some friendlies in this.
Yeah.
I've been binge-watching Downton Abbey lately.
Mm-hmm. It's so sophisticated.
I love Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Hello?
No, that's okay.
My name is Bo, and I love Downton
Abbey.
And I
watched that. Hey, Bo. Welcome, Bo.
I think I've mentioned it before on this program. I think I actually even said I got into it specifically when my first daughter was born. I couldn't sleep. I put on Downton. I'd been a naysayer about Downton Abbey forever.
Okay.
Because, you know, British. I was very, you know, naysaying the whole British drama and everything else.
Right.
I put it on thinking it would put me to sleep, and it kept me up all night long.
Wow.
My wife was going into labor, and I was sitting there watching Downton Abbey. That is not a lie. That is a confession. That is a confession right here and now.
All the Downton Abbey stuff to say, though, are you giving tea a second thought?
Lately, I've been diving into the tea because Carson's sitting there with Mrs. Hughes, and they're having a conversation about what's going on with Lady Mary, and I kind of want to have some tea with them.
Do you put milk in your tea?
So I didn't.
That's
but
a
then,
thing, right?
See, then they started doing it on Downton, and then I was like, well, maybe I should do it with
and
the tea.
And I know some people put like maybe a twist of lemon in their tea, too. I know that's a thing. And
so I will say this.
You put honey in your tea before.
So
when
sick, and I've said this in the past, but when sick, or when, you know, obviously with the line of work that I've found myself into, my voice is very important, and so I'll do the tea with lemon and honey, which is a good combination. So in those situations, or when watching Downton Abbey, I choose tea, but 9 times out of 10, I'm going coffee.
Yeah, tea is awesome. I love to drink tea, but I don't know, the daily drinkability for me, it just, I'm a coffee guy.
Bobby or JFK?
I don't know. They were both, you know, obviously extremely important in the mid-20th century American politics, and particularly that 1960s era. I gotta go with JFK. I think more defining, right?
Sorry, Bobby.
But Bobby Kennedy, like, also incredible visionary. You know, probably, you know, there were a lot of folks that would have been really interested to see what kind of president he would have made.
Unknown paintings or famous posters?
Ooh, unknown painting. Unknown painting. I think if you're gonna go with a famous poster. A poster, regardless of how famous it is, can only get you so far, okay?
Because it's a replication?
I've never been to the Guggenheim, but imagine if you go in the Guggenheim, you're not going to find posters from movies in the 1990s. Like you're probably not, right?
There should be a museum of posters from the 1990s, in all fairness. That's
probably some
not
great
a
ones,
terrible
right?
idea. Yeah, yeah.
But you know, and there again, you wouldn't necessarily find any... you know, hotel art or something that was a painting, but from an unknown artist in the Guggenheim either.
Depends on the hotel.
But you know, I don't know. I think that for me, I would in you know, if I had a really fancy house in my living room, I would have more trouble hanging up a poster, even if it was a movie from a movie I loved, than an unknown piece of painting. What are your thoughts?
Star Wars.
Yeah, pull out the trump card.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, if you offer me some famous painting versus, like, a poster from, like, the original Star Wars,
yeah.
I'm going with poster.
No, I mean,
the original Star
that's
Wars.
Fair.
So
yeah.
I'm going to have to pick poster on that.
Okay.
But great question there. And last but not least, tapas or sushi? That's a good one.
I got to go with sushi.
It depends on where I am, but I'm probably going to go sushi
as
well.
Yeah, I think on average, I'll go with sushi.
Didn't we have... We had an episode where we had just talked about fish, and I mentioned, like, I only have fish on the coast.
Yeah.
And then, like, almost like the next day, you and I were out in Alabama somewhere, and we ended up getting sushi.
We had sushi, yeah. In, like, West Georgia or something.
Yeah. And you're, like, calling me a hypocrite, and I'm like, hey, it's sushi.
It's sushi, though. No, you're right. We actually got a lot of hate from our listeners in the Midwest on that, too.
No, we didn't. Did we
it
really?
Wasn't hate,
yeah.
But it was definitely... maybe a prodding thing.
Constructive
like,
criticism?
Yeah, I'm sure they serve great sushi in Iowa. Excellent sushi.
Yeah, right. The gauntlet has been thrown,
it has
Iowa.
Been thrown.
All right, well, those are great questions from Mortensen Devi. Hey, if you've got some quick fire questions, send them in csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, listener feedback this week. We've got an iTunes review in from IP Barrett. Says...
JP Barrett?
I can't read tonight.
It's okay.
Losing my vision here in my middle age. JP Barrett, who writes, friends worth hanging out with. We all hope to find people like this to hang out with. Folks cool enough to have a drink with, but good enough not to embarrass you in front of your mom and dad. Wow.
That's high praise.
That's extremely high praise. That's somebody from the South.
You know, yeah, down here in the South, you got to, you know, if you can impress mama and them.
You're good.
Yeah, you're all right.
You're all right.
You're all right.
Next one is actually a YouTube comment.
Yeah, it's a YouTube comment from Red Dirt Blue Skies, and he says, love the show and the Lord of the Rings themed tobacco names. Green Dragon sounds like a tobacco that could make its home in Rohan. Why not name it Rittermark? That's
ooh,
a great point.
I'd say that is a good one.
And I like that. And that may have to go up on the board of possible alternates.
Did you mention the Prancing Pony? Because that was actually...
That was good, too.
That was the bar that was outside of the Shire. That was like the Human City right across from the Brandywine Bridge.
It was closer to Rivendell, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't closer to Riverdale.
No.
I don't know.
I'm not as brushed up on my Middle Earth geography.
It's been a minute.
Anyway, great question or great comment. I like Rittermark. That's good.
Oh, that is a good one. Yeah, that is a good one.
That's very good.
All right. Well, what about from Twitter, man? Of course, we've been doing this show live here through the CountrySquireRadio.com. And as we love you guys to send us feedback during the show, we've got some great Twitter remarks throughout the evening.
Yeah, we do. Bradley again says, just grabbed his Washington from the Missouri Meerschaum to venture into English and Balkan blend. So obviously one of the Washington pipes there from Missouri Meerschaum. We also hear from our friend Beardcore Rush. He says, come visit me on planet Hoth. Tons of snow and below freezing. We're sitting here complaining about Mississippi being in the low 30s tonight.
He's up in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, in Grand Rapids. I mean, I imagine it's the if you see Sasquatch, tell him I said hello.
Absolutely.
I'm sure he's well at home in all the snow.
Hey, we got some great tweets in too from Portland Paul and also John Griffin. The great thing is They're sending in pictures. This has become a thing where people are taking pictures of us on their screen,
yeah,
and posting them out during the show, which I love, man. That's so great. We should probably do a hashtag along with that, like CSR Live or something of that nature.
Maybe so, yeah. That's good. As long as their computer monitors, you know, can survive the damage.
Yeah. If you can handle the manliness of this magnitude, you know, or the ugliness, if we're being perfectly honest. Yeah, absolutely. Well, great. Well, hey, we love getting this kind of feedback. Hey, we really want to encourage you, too, if you are listening right now, mm-hmm, and you have not done so already, and I mean this, head over to iTunes, write us a review. Every single episode, almost since the beginning of this podcast, yeah, I mean, since the early days of this podcast, for sure, we've been able to read an iTunes review, and we're getting close to needing a couple more iTunes reviews.
That's so great.
Head out head over to iTunes, write us a review, and you're guaranteed to have that review read here on the show.
And it helps us a lot.
Oh, it helps us tremendously. You know, another way to help us out tremendously is if you don't have an iPhone device, head over to your Google Play Store, download the Satchel Podcast Player, and listen to us through that. While you're listening to the show, you can send us tweets, you can see show notes, including seeing photos of that Missouri Meerschaum pipe that this podcast is brought to you by. So be sure to do that and check that out. And if you want to, we've had a great showing, especially I feel like it's been very connected to the new YouTube channel, but we've had a larger growing of people tuning in for the live podcast, which has been really awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can, of course, tune in live every single Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Central. That, of course, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. We would love to have you join us. You can find links to that and more at CountrySquireRadio.com. You can, of course, follow us on Twitter. At Squire Radio is the show. You can follow me at The Real Beau York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And, of course, links to all that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, what a great Squire Selects evening.
Yeah, man, this is fun. Absolutely. I think I'm about to pour me another dram of this Maker 64.
Am I gonna have to drive you home?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Am I gonna have to drag you home?
That is a distinct possibility.
Oh man. Man, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.